Amishuddha Buddha, Amishuddha Dharma, Amishuddha Sangha. In Buddhism, there are two main ways of going about the religion. In one way, one's faith is strongly focused on help that one conceives as coming from outside oneself. In the other way, which is the Zen way, the main focus is on help conceived of as coming from within oneself and in good part through one's own efforts. In actual fact, both of these are needed, and both ways involve, to a greater or lesser degree, both aspects of faith. It should not be surprising that the majority of Buddhists worldwide tend more towards the first of these two ways of emphasizing faith than the second. And yet the second way is the way that the Buddha himself practiced. And it's the way that we practice. When we recite the scripture of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, which we do frequently, that aspect of looking to something beyond oneself is very evident. When we do our silent meditation, that aspect of self-reliance is very evident. But of course, it's a rather drastic simplification to say that the scripture of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva is only about help from outside oneself, because we all know that cosmic compassion is as much within us as outside of us. In fact, it doesn't even recognize the inside-outside dichotomy. Similarly, we all know that when we meditate, an essential aspect of that meditation is relaxing into the hands of something greater than ourselves. When we are acutely aware of pain, whether spiritual or physical, when we are acutely aware of our suffering, we are usually also very interested in seeing that pain, that suffering, go away as soon as possible. Sometimes this just happens. For example, you could smack your thumb with a hammer. There might be an acute pain as soon as that happens, but one might find that it diminishes in a matter of minutes. On the other hand, one might have a recurrent kind of spiritual pain that comes back over long periods of time, and when it comes back, it sticks around for a while, and no amount of wishing it away makes it go away. No amount of calling on Kanzeon makes it go away. One can have physical pain that's like that, where no amount of praying for help makes it go away. So does that mean that if we're stuck with chronic physical and or spiritual pain, or at least recurrent physical and or spiritual pain, that there's nothing we can do? When he was very old, and approaching his death, the Buddha told his disciples, "There's no time when I'm not in pain, physical pain, except when I am in deepest samadhi." That means when I'm in deepest meditation. And this is the interesting thing about deep meditation, is that we can be in considerable pain, and yet the pain hovers, as it were, at the periphery of our consciousness, because we've gone so deeply into the stillness of meditation. It's more accurate to say that we've been drawn so deeply into the stillness of meditation. So this is the big clue, that one can find a place of spiritual safety and refuge, and at least partial relief, even while one is suffering. And this is the great blessing of meditation. We can find a place of refuge even within suffering. And there's even more to it than that, because we can train ourselves in such a way that we can use the arising of pain as a way of helping ourselves come back to our spiritual center, concentrate our mind, and come back to that place of spiritual safety and refuge. I'll give a little example of my own experience. I have a kind of low-grade chronic asthma that I've had pretty well all my life, it seems. There have been periods in which I've been much more aware of it than in other periods. I've had long periods when it wasn't a problem, and I've had shorter periods sometimes of several weeks or a month or two where it was something I just had to live with. Anyone who's had asthma knows that it's really not pleasant when you get an attack of it. But one of the things that can go with this is a pain in the chest. And I had an episode when I was a little boy. I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, maybe 10. And I, in the morning of one day, I started to get a tightness in the chest. And I was very aware of it, and it was a little scary. I didn't tell my mom about it. But as the day wore on, the tightness got worse and worse. It became painful. And I struggled against it and still didn't say anything about it. And I tried to just kind of block it and even kind of defy it. And the more I struggled against it, the worse it got, until by evening, I was in a state where I couldn't breathe. And, well, I couldn't hide it from my mom at this point. She rushed me to the doctor. Those are the days when you could actually have the doctor come to your house, or you could rush to the doctor's office and they'd meet you at the office. It was night. The doctor met us at the office, and he laid me on the exam table. Then he stepped out of the room to talk to my mom for just a moment. And I relaxed completely, because I felt safe at last. And all of a sudden, the problem just literally disappeared, and I felt like such a fool. The tightness in my chest just dissolved, and I was fine. And the doctor came back to the room, and there was no problem. I was breathing fine. But of course, if I hadn't got to where I could relax, I could actually have died from an asthma attack. People do die sometimes of asthma attacks. Well, I don't think the doctor knew what to make of it, because all of a sudden I didn't have any symptoms. So I got driven home. Sometimes I get that tightness in the chest, and the only thing I know that really helps with it is to just lie down, or sit down at least. It works better if I lie down. And just meditate and let my attention be drawn to the place in my chest where the pain is. And let my attention focus on that pain. And when that happens, most often what happens is I'm very conscious of the pain, and then there's this sense of kind of separating out from it, to where I'm just kind of watching it. I'm not afraid of it anymore. There's no emotion there. There's just this pain in this kind of context of stillness. Then sometimes what will happen is all of a sudden it's just gone. Well, I've learned Since I was a little boy, I've learned a lot about the nature of this, and it's very deeply associated with grief. And I've worked through a lot of that grief in my training over the years. And our past karma can always act upon us, at least potentially. The more we want to get rid of our suffering, the more our suffering pursues us to get our attention. And the purpose of pain is to get our attention. If we did not feel pain physically, we really could not survive. How would you know that your hand was touching a hot stove if you didn't feel the pain of it? There are some people, very, very few people, who literally can't feel physical pain, at least in certain parts of their body, and they don't survive very long. Spiritual pain has the same purpose as physical pain, to get our attention, to draw our attention to something that's needed, something that needs help. Of course, this is why meditation uncorks the corked up bottle of our karma, because when we meditate, we're finally allowing our attention to be drawn to the need, the spiritual need within us. It's also why people flee from meditation and flee from temples and monasteries, because they don't want to face all that stuff that's in that bottle. And personally, I don't blame them the least, because we have an instinct for how much stuff is stuffed down into that bottle. And let me tell you, it's a lot of stuff. Yet it's stuff that can be dealt with through our own efforts of acceptance and through our faith in that which is greater than ourself, that is always helping us, whether we know it or not. A seemingly insignificant pain can be a signal of something the roots of which go very deep. There are painful aspects of fear, sadness, anger, despair, desire, frustration, insecurity. These are all painful states. They're not pleasant states. The emotion, the feeling that is connected with these states is a signal that there's something underlying, there's causes underlying that need help. And it's a part of the natural process of meditation that our attention is drawn to the suffering. And that in allowing our attention to be drawn to the suffering, and in at the same time in opening our heart to that which can help the suffering, which is much, much greater than ourselves, and that is not outside ourselves, and is not in ourselves, and it is outside ourselves, and it is in ourselves, and is beyond all such distinctions. It is through this opening of the heart, in combination with that allowing our own attention to be drawn to the need, that the help can come to the need. We are the junior partner to the eternal, and yet the eternal is not going to force the help on the junior partner. We have to give our permission for the help to happen.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.